Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You that were in the class, such a tremendous lesson, message this morning by Brother Patterson. I can tell you, Jesus can do about anything that you need from the sitting position. But when you get him on his feet, he's in action mode. Amen. He's in action mode. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Patterson said in our team meeting before service, he said, I just love it when God starts putting everything together. Sunday school messages down there come into being and the same as they're up here, and nobody talked. And so he's halfway through preaching and talking about God's standing, or Jesus standing on his feet. And Brother Vince turned around to me and said, did he talk to Michael? So I have no idea about what. He said, yesterday, that's what he taught on. He taught a bunch on it about bringing Jesus to his feet. And P.I., he taught. And then Chelsea said after, between the services, Chelsea said, wow, I think they've been talking or something. Something like that. I forgot exactly what she said. But she said, it's the same stuff. That's not the same. They didn't have to talk. They talked to the same God. Amen. How many believe that God can talk to more than one person at a time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tuesday prayer will be on the streets of State College. We're going to take this thing out of the building. And there will be much more of that, not just prayer. A lot of other things are happening in the works. We will be talking about it throughout the month of September. Not just talking about it, we will be doing it. Amen. Talk is over. Amen. So we'll be doing it. This is the last Sunday of the month. How many excited back that flame back there is red? Is red before we took an offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Charlie, I need you to run back there and get that offering plate. I'm not going to try to take a big offering. I just really felt to do this after service started, after Brother Patterson was up here teaching. He was almost finished. And I just felt, you know, I want to receive an offering, just a cash offering. He's big about doing this when we're doing Christmas for Christ. You got something in your pocket, $1, $2, $5, $3, $10, $7,000. I mean, I'm just kidding. Hey, I did. One time I was in Ozark, and a guy walked up and put something in my hand, and it was a wad. And I thought, you know, everything he had in his wallet, probably. I got in the Sunday school room after service, pulled that out, 10 $100 bills. Now, who brings $1,000 cash to church? I guess God had talked to him before service. I don't know. But handed it to me. I go to the pastor and say, Pastor, what in the world is this? I don't know who does that kind. I would if I could. Amen. You're already pulling money out, and I haven't told you what it's for. So I'll address who it's for. This does not go in SP Ministries. This goes in your pocket. Okay? This is for Scott and Amy Patterson. Just a little help. Just really feel like we ought to do it. Just felt it from the Lord. If you can give a quarter, if you can give a dollar, if you can give $25, whatever it is. Just, Brother Charlie, just go ahead. In Jesus' name, pray your blessing on the offering, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to break through some things. Amen. We're going to break through some things. We are. We're going to break through some things. We're going to break through some stuff. Amen. We're going to break through. Praise God. A couple of little housekeeping things for the church. Sound booth. Those sliders in that sound booth. Let me just say it like this. Everything in that sound booth except that, is it the white cord that they can hook to something to play music? Everything in that sound booth except that white cord is off limits to everyone except for the Vince, for the Jamie, maybe Brother Michael, just the people that are involved in the sound system. Because more than once of late, they've gotten here and sound systems change on their own. We don't need any help. They really do. Humidity changes them. Lighting changes them. All kind of things. How many people you've got in the auditorium, in the building, changes them. It really does. Setting back there is not just setting back there. You have to adjust things every Sunday. We have enough of that, okay? So please leave the buttons alone. Not being mean, just you know, if you have to adjust your sound, do not touch that main sound. And if you're doing that, if you got to have something louder than it typically is, I don't think you will, but try to do it on your phone. Okay? Raise it on your phone. Praise God. The other thing is, we will get it fixed in the next week or so, but when you come in that front door, if you notice it drags a little when you're opening it, well, it drags a little when you close it, meaning that even though it's locked, it's not locked. You can pull it open. Two or three people have come here of late and reached up and grabbed that door, and it was open. Now, school in that other building, as of Thursday of this past week, was in session. And the first day, the cops weren't here the first day, but the first day they were, there was a teacher out walking a young man, and he probably outweighed her 75 pounds. So they're not all just little bitty kids. And they tell us, the teachers have told us, the administrators, do not leave your car doors unlocked. Do not leave these buildings unlocked. Because they will come in here. And sometimes when they are out looking for a place to go, they're not in real good shape. That school and all those kids in that school need a lot of prayer. Amen? So please keep your doors locked. Just a little housekeeping. Nothing else needed. Pastor, you should have waited. You've killed the spirit. You know, from what I read in the scripture, you can't kill the spirit of God. Amen? He's forever. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is here, wants to minister, wants to change lives forever. Anybody believe that? Wants to change lives forever. Say, that can't happen in one service. I beg to differ. Multitudes of men and women have been in an apostolic church service. And in one service, they have walked out, changed forever. Changed forever. Never, Brother Jim, would they ever be the same again. And that's the spirit that's here this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother, pull up that scripture in Genesis while you stand. We'll read that. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's sons, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, notice, had said. Notice he had said already. Okay? Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Down to verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Go back to the first one, the 11 and 31. I think it's 31. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's sons, and Terah. They went from the Ur of the Chaldees and kept going. And on down, they said, and they came to Haran. It's as far as they got, but notice where they were headed. And dwelt there. They were headed, I'm sorry, to go unto the land of Canaan. You got to put these two in order. There's already a move to go to the land of Canaan going on here. He has already spoken to Abram. He took more than Lot. He took Daddy with him too. Looks like Daddy led it, even. Terah. Okay? You can be seated. Now, this first opening comments are not in my notes, and there's probably a whole lot going to be in my notes right now. Terah goes as far as Haran. It looks like in Scripture that Abram has already been talked to. God has already spoken to him because they are headed to the land of Canaan. Terah is with them, his father. There's something about this Terah, that his father, that they stop in Haran, and that's as far as they go. Canaan is the promised land. Canaan is the land that God is promising Abram and his descendants forever. And something stops him short of the promises of God. I don't know that if Terah was that the only thing that stopped him. What I do know is, according to the Scripture, when Terah died, Abraham left. I'm just going to suppose that Terah was the one, and he wanted to go to Canaan, but he got so far and said, this is as far as we're going to go. I'd like those promises, and I'd like to experience them with you, Abram, but I'm not going any further than right here. And so he became an obstruction to the promises of God. He became a problem. He became that thing that hindered, that hindrance to Abram receiving the promises of God. And finally, Terah died. Now, you've got one or two choices. You can kill what is hindering you, and that means you can't go out and kill anybody, okay? Let me just say that. I don't bring a new doctrine this morning to you. But in your spirit, you can put to death that thing that hinders you, even if it's a person. And I don't mean, again, that you're killing them. I mean you are not allowing them another moment to hinder you from going into the promises of God. The issues that face you and I, the promises that we have felt, the words that have been spoken to us, the things that we have read, the callings that have been given to us, there are always going to be hindrances to that. There's always going to be something to try to hinder that. And sometimes it's nothing more than our own inferiorities. Sometimes it's nothing more than our own level of expectations that we have set. We have set because of what everybody else thinks. And it's really not what everybody else thinks. It's what we think that everybody else thinks. And one man said, and you've heard me quote it before, that if you knew how little, meaning the amount of time that they spent thinking about you, you wouldn't worry about what they thought about you. How true is that? How many of you spent 5 hours this week thinking about me? That's what I thought. Me, not you. I was going to say, wow, I'm impressed. Hallelujah. I think my wife raised her hand. You know what they say in the South? Bless her, Lord. Hey, man, you didn't spend 5 hours thinking about me. I hate to tell you this, but I didn't spend 5 hours thinking about you. She said, good. Hey, man, if you knew how little time that people spent thinking about you, you wouldn't worry about what they think about you. So get that hindrance out of your head, what people think about you. Get one thing in your head, what he thinks about you. Amen. Brother Patterson, it's the same flowing of the same message. Get in your mind only what he thinks about you. I don't care what you think about me, as long as I'm pleasing God. If I'm pleasing God, you need to get on board or you'll get run over or left. Amen. I'm not being harsh, okay? That's not a bad statement. But something happened in Abram's life, and Terah died. And suddenly Abram's ready to go. You got two choices. You can kill it, or God can kill it. You might want to do that yourself. Because if you wait on God to destroy something or somebody and get them out of your path, it might be a long time coming. Because he loves them as much as he loves you. And he might just let nature take its course. And your calling might be put on hold, not for a year or 6 months or 2 or 3 years, but for 25 or 30 or 40 years, because you cannot get that thing out of your life that hinders you. You might get too old for that thing to bother you anymore. I need to go into a further detail than that. Please see me after church. If you're above 16, I'll talk to you. If not, I'll send you back to your parents. They can talk to you. Now, there are things that hinder us. My main message today, my main scripture is now, we're going to jump into Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1 first. This is an introduction, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days. Notice the kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Four different monarchs. Isaiah is the prophet to four different kings. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, to give you a little foundation, and I'll give you a whole lot more foundation in a moment, but if you'll read the first five chapters of Isaiah, you will see that the man is on task. He is prophesying. He is preaching, if you will. Brother Patterson, he's doing what God told him to do. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. He's doing what God has called him to do. He is looking at where they're at, and he's telling them where they're at, and he's telling them what's going to happen if they don't get out of where they're at. There's some promises thrown in there, though. Anybody ever hear, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow? That's in the first five chapters of Isaiah. And then something happens. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Brother Jamie, I need you to go to Chronicles. I want to give you, we'll come back to the rest of those in a little bit. I want to give you a foundation of this story. In Second Chronicles, the story is the story of Judah, the nation of Judah, and the kings of Judah. If you want to read detail about the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom, go to 1 and 2 Kings. If you want to read detail about the kings of Judah, the southern kingdom, go to 1 and 2 Chronicles. These are the chronicles of the kings of Judah. I will skip much of that. I'll just go back to his grandfather, Uzziah's grandfather, Joash. Joash begins his reign at the young age of 7. At 1 year old, his grandmother has his brothers all slain. It wasn't nice to go to Granny's house. After Jehu has killed her son, King Ahaziah. Jehu killed King Ahaziah, and his mother, the king's mother, had all of her grandsons slain because she wanted the throne. And as long as there was a son living, a grandson of hers, she was not going to get the throne. And she knew that. She killed them all except the priest Jehoiada, who was the brother-in-law to King Ahaziah. He had married the king's sister. He hid Joash for 6 years. Joash was evidently 1 year old at the time. And at age 7, was able to convince the people to make him king. As long as Jehoiada was alive, Joash did well and served God. He repaired the house of God. He put a treasure, a box, out in front of the... He instructed the priest to do this, to put a treasure by the door of the temple. And they were to collect the money. And they took that money and repaired the house, the temple of God, because it had grown in bad repair under the former king. And then this happened, 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. They bowed down to the king. And something happened in Joash. The moment people begin to bow down to him, then the king hearkened unto them. He started listening to the people. Keep going. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again to the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah. Notice who he is. The son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith the God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the house of the Lord, in the court of the house of the Lord. Keep going. I'm sorry. Verse 22. Nope. Verse 20. No, that's it. I'm sorry. Not only that, they did not only kill this son, but at the commandment of the king, Joash had all the sons of Jehoiada, the priest that had saved his life. He had them all slain. And so from then, God gave them over to their enemies in a great defeat against a very small force. And after that, the people conspired against King Joash, and they slew him. And then Ahaziah, the son of Joash, begins to reign, and he started well. He returned to following God, and God gave him a great victory against the king of Seir. And it was a great victory. Outnumbered, the Lord fought the battle. But something happened to him, because as soon as he was had slain all of the men of Seir, you would think he would just destroy everything that they had, take the spoils of the war and go home, worship his God for great victory. Instead, he took their idols, their gods, and took them back to Jerusalem and began to worship their gods. And God sent a prophet to him and said, why? Why would you worship a God that couldn't help his own people? I'm not going to read all of this because of time. Ahaziah, a prophet, was sent to him, and he ignored that prophet, and God delivered him into the hands of the king of Israel, the northern tribe. I'll get to preaching, so it'll wake you up in just a moment. And then his people conspired against him and slew him. And then his son, Uzziah, was made king. He was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years, or 52 years. Isaiah begins his prophetic ministry in the latter years of Uzziah's reign. Uzziah did well. There's no doubt in reading this that Isaiah would have been taught and very aware of the history that I just gave to you about the kings that preceded Uzziah. He would have been very aware of all of that. Uzziah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord until later in his reign. There's something about the success that God gives someone. There's something about us having a successful reign that God has blessed you with that causes us to forget our God and forget where he brought us from. They grow comfortable. And so Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26 and 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king. Who's withstanding him? The priests are withstanding him. Why? Because he has brought incense, headed into the temple, going into the holy place. He's going to offer incense, and the king does not do that. Only the priests do that. And the priest stood there and said, "No, you're out of place. You can't come in here and do this." Watch what happens. And said unto him, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was wroth or mad and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now that's the setting of where we're at in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1. Go back to Isaiah 6 and 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now again, remember, he's a prophet. Tori, he's prophesying. He's already writing his prophecies, it looks like. Is he not seeing the Lord? Evidently not, like this. He has a king, Brother Wilson, that is a leper, that can't dwell in the palace. He might still be running things behind the scenes, but his son, Jotham, who is the heir to the throne, is running things. Things seem to be going well. Looks like there's going to be a smooth transition. Isaiah's comfortable. Isaiah's where God wants him to be. Isaiah's doing what God has called him to be. Brother Patterson, you made mention of it this morning. God doesn't tell us everything that he wants us to do. And he has not spoken to Isaiah at the level that he's going to speak to him. He has not given him understanding where he's going to wind up. And I think he's gotten a little bit comfortable. There is a little bit of history that would say that Isaiah is actually related to King Uzziah. I didn't dig deep to prove or disprove that. But something in this relationship and something in the depth of this relationship, this crisis event, catapults Isaiah into a whole new realm. And as Brother Patterson preached to us early, you don't get into a new realm just because some crisis happens. Crisis happens and you begin to seek God more. and God comes to you because you're crying out to Him. God, help me. I need to know what to do now. My king is dead. Everything is going to be topsy-turvy for a little while here. There's going to be a change, and Uzziah is not going to be behind the scenes anymore holding this thing together. And God, I don't know what to do. And something catapults Isaiah into the realm of the Holy Ghost, into heaven. And there he has a vision. And look at this vision. He sees the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, His train filling the temple. And one commentator said the train of the robe filled the temple. And I know there's significance in that, but the train of the robe so filled the temple area in heaven that those angels cannot, the seraphims, they cannot stand there. And they have to fly. They have wings to fly, and they're hovering there in His presence. And Isaiah sees all of that. And then they begin to cry out. He describes the seraphims. They had six wings. Two wings they covered their face. With two wings they covered their feet. And a seraphim would have had a garment on that the only thing that would have shown that it would have been, that would have been bare would have been the feet and the face. And they covered everything that was bare. They covered it with their wings. And the other two wings they flew and hovered with in the presence of God. And they cried unto one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The very temple in the heavens was shaking because of the power of the voice. And it looks like the voice was the voice of the angel, the seraphim. It shakes the house. Then Isaiah says something. Verse 5. "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." This vision of God, Sergio, allows him to see himself as he really is. There's uncleanness in me. How many get offended when somebody says, "You know, you need to step up a little bit, your game. You need to do a little bit more. You need to..." How many get offended at that? Oh, if you'll get in His presence, He'll show you your uncleanness. When you see that there is a shortcoming in you, you don't need to get offended. You need to start crying out unto the Lord. You need to start crying out unto God. "Woe is me! I am a man of unclean lips." We're talking about the hindrances in our life and getting rid of those things. God is about to take us somewhere. There are callings. Brother Jacob, you need to look up. I'm going to talk to you in just a minute. And I'm going to do it openly so everybody can hear. I want you to know that God is going to do something in your life. Come on, God is going to change some people here. You've got to receive it as the word of the Lord. The word of God is mighty among us. Amen. Come on. The Spirit of God is changing Isaiah. "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean heart." Is that what it says? "I got unclean hands. I got unclean feet." Hopefully you washed your feet before He came. I won't go any deeper. No, He says, "I have unclean lips. I have unclean lips." The word "lips" there, from the original Hebrew, when He says, "Woe and me, woe is me, I am undone." Let me back up. To be undone is to be dumb or silent. Hence to fail or perish. I am undone. I can't speak. I can't talk. I have been silenced in the presence of God. I'm not speaking right. It speaks of a border or an edge. There is a threshold here. Can I tell you? There is a threshold that he can't cross. Not until his heart is right. That's not it. It's his lips. His lips are the threshold. He's going to cross this threshold when his lips become clean. Come on, you need to get this. You need to get this. Amen. He needs the cross. He's going to cross a threshold into a new realm. You don't want to know who Isaiah really is? He's the messianic prophet is who he is. You want to know who he really is? He's listed as one of the literary greats of all time. You mean in Scripture, the guys that wrote the Bible. I'm talking literary greats of all time, of all places. He's listed as one of the literary greats in being able to paint pictures with words. Why not? He's going to talk about Messiah. He's going to prophesy of Messiah. In fact, let me jump ahead just a little bit. It's not in my notes, but Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. He doesn't hardly get through this. And there will be a promise come out of him that says, a virgin, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew will quote that and say that Emmanuel means God with us. And we know that to be Jesus Christ. What happened? He went over a threshold. He stepped into a new realm. Watch what happens here. Where are we at? Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar. I was praying about this the other day, and I didn't read it. Notice, and here's where you've got to get at the source of this fire, this coal, Jeremy. At the source, the angel, the spiritual being called an angel. Brother Wilson, it is so hot and it is so supernatural that an angel has to take tongs to reach into that fire and get a live coal off of it. Once he gets it out of that fire, once he gets it out of the source, once he takes it out of the source is so powerful that the angel of God can't even stick his hand in it. The angel of God can't put his hand in that thing. But once he gets it out, he can hold it in his hand. And he's going to bring it down and lay it and brand Isaiah's hand. No, he's going to stick it in his mouth. He's going to stick it in his mouth. Now watch what happens. He laid it upon my lips. That's not what it says. He laid it upon my mouth. The word mouth means as the means of blowing, whether literal or figurative, or particularly speech. Not just talking about the outer. He's talking about what comes out of this thing. He's talking about the words that come out of that mouth. That coal of fire that an angel, and you're not getting this, I can tell. I got too many scripture involved or too much. There's a fire in heaven that is accessible to you and I. It is accessible if you'll cry out to God. It is accessible if you'll cry out in repentance to God. There's a fire that an angel can't even touch. He can't stick his hand in that thing. I don't know what would happen to the angel's hand, but he didn't go with just his bare hand and reach in there. I don't know how hot it has to be for an angel not to be able to grab hold of it, but evidently really hot. And that angel reaches in with a set of of tongues, pulls it out, and he doesn't bring it. I don't think he gets the privilege of putting that on his own mouth. He's going to put it on the mouth of a human being, and that fire is going to burn that man's mouth clean, and that mouth is going to speak of the greatest promise that has ever been given to mankind. He's going to talk about Messiah. He's going to talk about he was smitten. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we're healed. Amen. Because he's changed. He's changed. And I don't know what is your hindrance this morning. I don't know what the hindrance is. Hallelujah. I know what was mine, but I don't know what everybody here, what hindrance you're dealing with. I don't know what hindrance you've got inside you that's hindering you. Because God wants to take you into a realm where you see the Savior. God wants to take you into a place where he can commission you. Come on, you got to know where this is headed. You got to know this is headed to Acts, the second chapter. Come on, you've got to know. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be a what? Well, you're going to be a walker. You're going to be a stepper. You're going to be a... No. You're going to be a witness, sir. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You've got the prophetic voice of Isaiah, the prophetic ministry of Isaiah, the same calling of Isaiah on you. You've got to be a witness of the Messiah. You're going to write things about your Savior. Here's the word of the Lord. Stand up for a moment. Close your eyes, lift your hands. God has called you and is calling you now. You will be a great man of God. You will preach the gospel. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You simply need to yield to the Lord. This won't be tomorrow. It won't be the next day. It won't be in the next 6 months. But the Holy Ghost, as you seek him, will begin to lift you up and confirm what I'm saying to you now. In the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Now worship the Lord with all your heart right now. Hallelujah. Receive the word of the Lord. Come on, receive the word of the Lord right now. In Jesus' name, come on. Pray through that you begin to talk in tongues in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, can you stand with me and worship the Lord for a moment? Hallelujah, pray with him. Hallelujah, let the Lord confirm it. Come on, the Holy Ghost. Come on, the Holy Ghost is in the house right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is here. There's a fire that God wants to reach down and give you. There's a fire that he wants to put on your mouth. There's a fire that he wants to touch you with. Only God can do this. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My... Hallelujah. Brother Jamie put up Jude. Y'all know Acts chapter 2. There was a fire fell in that upper room. What happened to him when it fell? What happened to him when it fell? They begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. God is touching your mouth. This is bigger than, I don't know if this is the evidence. I'm telling you, this is bigger than just the evidence. This is bigger. God is cleansing our mouth and putting words in our mouth and putting a holy anointing on our mouth and cleansing our mouth. Hallelujah. I could pastor right now for a minute. If you're fond of dirty jokes and you're fond of cursing and you're fond of saying things that you shouldn't say and gossiping about people, then you haven't talked in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance in a long time. You haven't let God talk in tongues through you. You just learned how to do it. You learned how to do it because you've been doing it so long, it don't matter. But if you talk in tongues enough, the Scripture said, out of the well, there can't be bitter water and sweet come out of the same well. Come on, we need to be cleansed today. Holy Ghost needs to come today. Come on, the Holy Ghost needs to come today. I don't know who put that expectation in you. Oh God. Hallelujah. Come on. I need you to pray with me right now. Hallelujah. I need you to just start praying in the place. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you look at that scripture? You that have misquoted it along with me. Building up yourselves. We always say we build our faith praying in the Holy Ghost. We build ourselves on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, there's a fire that comes, but you've got to have faith in God. Amen. Your faith, He's not going to baptize you with a just an abundance and over expounding level of faith unless you seek Him, and unless there's a need of a gift of faith, He would do that. But that faith is going to come by hearing. That faith is going to come by getting in His presence. That faith is your foundation. Yourself is grown weak on your faith. Amen? You've grown weak standing on your faith. But if you'll begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, the angel didn't bring this fire. The angel didn't bring this fire. You don't need an angel to bring the fire. We don't need an angel. Oh, man, we'd get excited if one would appear right here right now, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? Wings spread out. Brother Rick told me one day in the old building downtown, and Brother Patterson, Brother Rick, this bothered me. Not that you saw it, okay? That didn't bother me. That was awesome. But he saw one of them on the platform sitting. That bothered me. He was sitting. I've never heard of one sitting. I don't want him sitting. I want him standing. I want him in full battle array. I want him ready to go. But if one appeared right there, boy, would we ever... That'd shake us up, wouldn't it, Vince? Big white wings hovering up here. Wouldn't that get us? I think sometimes God uses angels just to spur us and let us know that the supernatural exists. But this one didn't come from angels. This one came from Him. And it still comes that way today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we need to gather in and start praying, worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, everybody. Come on, don't be backward. You need to go up there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you just need to worship the Lord. Come on, there's a fire from God. Say, well, it's grown quiet, Pastor. It can't be. It can't be happening right now. Come on, it can happen right now. Hallelujah. Come on, the fire of God needs to come right now. I praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Oh, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Oh, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. I have royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm a child of the King. I've been buried in His name. There is no devil that can come against me. I've been blessed, I've been bought, I have been set free. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Yes, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Yeah, no, I've been loosed. I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee for the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Yeah, oh, now I've been loosed. I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee for the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Yeah. Oh, now I've been loosed. I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee for the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me, yeah. Oh, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me, yeah. So, oh, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Oh, now I've been loosed. I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee for the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me, yeah. Oh, now I've been loosed. I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee for the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me, yeah. So I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Oh, now I have royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm a child of the King. I've been buried in His name. There is no devil that can come against me. I've been blessed, I've been bought, I have been set free. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me, yeah. Oh, now I've been loosed. I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee for the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me, yes. Oh, now I've been loosed. I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee for the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me, yes. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me, yes. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Joy of the Holy Ghost, it's all over me, yes. Now I have royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm a child of the King. I've been buried in His name. There is no devil that can come against me. I've been blessed, I've been bought, I have been set free. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Oh, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Yes, hallelujah. Joy, oh, falling fresh on me, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost, it's all over me. I feel the peace of God all over me. I feel the peace of God all over me. I feel a peace, peace of God all over me. Oh, I feel the peace of God all over me. I feel the peace of God all over me. I feel the peace of God all over me. Oh, it's all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh. Yeah. All over me.